Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. It's been a few weeks. I've been traveling across the country to Colorado and Annapolis and just seeing the beautiful United States this month. Everything is blooming across the country, and just so excited to talk with the founder of the Missouri House Rabbit Society. You know, when we travel, because we're bunny owners, we have to have someone, you know, watch and care for our bunny. We've had a bunny only just since April, since just before, actually maybe it was March, it was just before Easter, and one showed up in my neighbor's yard, and I could tell it was a domestic bunny, and I could tell it wasn't a bunny that should be left outside. We have a lot of predators in our area, coyote, dogs roaming, just various animals, birds and things. We're going to talk about that. If you notice a bunny outside that may not be where it should be and being cared for properly, and what you can do about it, we're going to talk with a woman who knows everything there is to know about bunnies. And I'd like to welcome to my show Joy Goya. She is a national advocate for bunny welfare and treatment. Amazing organization that she runs called the Missouri House Rabbit Society, probably one of the largest facilities of its kind in the country. It houses lots and lots, dozens of bunnies that are available for adoption. They have education and training and how to be a responsible bunny owner. There are a lot of things that are myths and a lot of misinformation out there. I just saw on Facebook this week a video of a bunny laying on its back eating an entire banana, and it had 2 million views. And even though it was, a cute picture, in actuality, that's a really dangerous message. A bunny should not be eating an entire banana, and we'll talk about that as well. There's a lot of misconceptions. My own misconception when we had located this bunny is I was giving her a couple of mini carrots. You know, we always hear how bunnies like carrots, and they do like carrots to their own detriment. Anything, too much of a good thing can be bad for a bunny or for us, as we know. So anyway, welcome to the show, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for making time in your busy schedule. I know coming up in just 2 days on Sunday, June 5th, you're hosting your big bunny expo, and we'll talk about that later in the program. But I'm sure my listeners want to know, how does a person, just anybody like yourself, get involved with bunnies as to the level that you've gotten involved with bunnies? Where did it all start, way back when?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was never intended. Like a lot of people, actually, I think with bunnies, it just kind of happened. I actually had spent over 30 years of my life with horses. I've had dogs and cats all my life. I was actually doing wildlife rehab at the time that I got my first bunny. And we were called by a park ranger, said, "We found this injured rabbit in a park. Are you guys open?" Again, I was doing wildlife. And I said, "Yes, of course, you know." So she comes in and she unwraps this little injured bunny, and it's a little white bunny with gray ears and a gray nose, and I'm going, this is not a cottontail. And the park ranger is going, I was kind of afraid of that. I'm going, So anyway, but she was injured, and she definitely needed care. So I ended up taking her home, And even though I was considered an expert on cottontails, I promptly found out exactly how much I did not know about domestic rabbits. And that started part of it, because what I did not know came really close to killing my first bunny.
Wow.
So between that and then ending up somebody else that was a volunteer at our place, ended up rescuing five bunnies, bringing them to me, and I'm going, what am I going to do with these bunnies? Well, you're the bunny person. No, I do wild bunnies, you know, little baby cottontails that get turned loose when they're like 6 weeks old. Yeah. And, you know, and so, well, yes, of course, I ended up taking these five bunnies that had been turned loose on a city street. And one of them promptly had six babies, like 2 days later. And I was in an absolute panic about all of a sudden, you know, having 12 bunnies, you know. And it's like somebody said, did you know there's a group called House Rabbit something or other that's you know, they're, you know, looking for people in St. Louis? And I said, give me the number. Well, obviously, instead of just dumping all of these animals, I ended up becoming very involved. And that was almost 20 years ago. Next year will be the organization's 20th anniversary in St. Louis.
Wow.
And it's grown from a little tiny organization to pretty substantial with our own shelter.
Wow. So it's been around almost 20 years, and next year is the big anniversary. So you were not the founder of the Missouri House Rabbit Society. I misspoke on that. I thought you were one of the founders, but you're like a founder. You were there from almost the beginning. So,
right. Basically, from the beginning with the group that was there. Like I said, it was just starting to try to, get together, putting people together. And
okay.
So I was there, basically. It's kind of one of those, we're still getting started at that point in time.
Okay. So your background was being a wildlife rehabber and working with injured wildlife, and then I assume rehabilitating them and re-releasing them back into the wild. Some that can be and some that can't be. I know I did that work as well in Colorado. And, it's interesting about getting your first bunny because it was found outside. That's how it happened with us. We had seen an injured bunny. Well, what I thought was injured, her ear had been cut off in half. And she was in Winter Park outside, a little gray bunny, and knocked on the door of the house next to, or apartment building, whatever, next to where she was, and they were just ski bums, and they admitted to having tossed her outside. And so they said, you can take her. So we took her. We didn't know what we were going to do with her. We rode all the way back to Boulder with her on our lap from Winter Park and connected with the Colorado House Rabbit Society. And therein started our journey with rabbits. And my former housemate back in Colorado still has, I think she has six of them now, and she still volunteers. And that was maybe 15 years ago. But so there are house rabbit societies around the country. Let's talk about what that is and how people can connect with the House Rabbit Society in their state, in case they're listening outside of Missouri. Because we do have national listeners. So tell us about the House Rabbit Society nationally, how it got started, and how people can connect to it.
Well, actually, House Rabbit Society got started probably close to 30 years ago, and the started out in California, in San Francisco. The founder, Marinelle Harriman, simply had a house bunny and decided to write a book about house bunnies and get together with a couple of other people who were interested in house bunnies. And it just really snowballed from there. A lot of people never thought about a rabbit as a house pet, but other people who had one, it's like, ooh, there's a like-minded person. And it just started from there. Then there was a couple more, chapters that developed in California. From there, it just, again, just started expanding. Other people who wanted to be involved with an organization that was trying to be on the cutting edge of rabbits as pets, of veterinary care, medical issues, and they, again, it just kind of snowballed. So if somebody's interested in finding their closest chapter, it's real simple. The national website is at www.rabbit.org. And
I love that.
I was
looking at that yesterday. So if you go to rabbit.org, you can actually click on your state, and it will give you the local contact for your House Rabbit Society. So sometimes and often, like the one in Missouri, you are the only bunny rescue in the state. You work with how many shelters, animal shelters?
Well, we actually work with, we've had over 40, probably over 45 different rescues and shelters call us for help. We do have a sister chapter in Kansas City. That's four hours away from us. And but then once you get past that, the next closest chapter is in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
So there's not very much, you know, around here. We've recently had one start up in Kentucky, and there's one in Indiana. So I said it's not really close, and you have to go up to like Wisconsin. So it's there's not in the Midwest. There's not a whole lot around.
Wow.
There's a lot more in some of the other states. But, you know, there are educators as well in different states. So you may at least have a resource of somebody who can help you with information.
Okay. So there are some resources. So if you do find a bunny, so often people might get a bunny from a pet store around Easter time for their child, and they don't realize the work involved, and they don't realize the care and or the proper feeding, any of the things, and they'll just put it outside. They do this with all sorts of domestic animals. Besides dogs and cats, I mean, there are a lot of unfortunate stories of animals that are released into the wild that should never be, and people just don't realize that an animal cannot fend for itself if it's been in captivity and used to being cared for as a domestic pet. So tell us about that issue. What is the common problem that you have witnessed here in the Midwest in Missouri with pets coming in or rabbits being found and things like that?
Oh, we see that all the time. And unfortunately, sometimes some very intelligent people, you know, who otherwise would be very intelligent people, honestly believe that it's okay to turn loose a bunny. They see bunnies outside. Well, oh, those bunnies are okay, you know, so we'll just turn this bunny loose. Well, one of the things, like you mentioned, they're domestic, so they're not necessarily going to look at that fox like, oh, look at the funny dog. Boom, too late, you know. They're not prepared for that. They have been bred, and a lot of them are no longer of any kind of shape that would be capable of running away from a predator. Some of them, you know, the coloring, you know, they couldn't hide from a predator. And they are just, you know, they're just left out there. The other thing that people don't realize is that the wild bunnies have a very, very difficult time surviving. One conservation book I read actually gave the average lifespan of a cottontail as 2 weeks. So most of them never even make it out of the nest. You know, when they talk about breeding like rabbits, you know, there's a reason. I mean, they're on the bottom of the food chain, and their only means of survival as a species is reproduction. So, you know, they're out there, and they can reproduce like every 31 days. So you've got this situation where you've got, say, a nest of baby bunnies, wild bunnies, and between predators, insects, weather, I mean, even rain can flush them out of the nest, lawnmowers, mom being killed, very, very few of them ever make it out of the nest. Then they're out of the nest at just 4 weeks old. And at that point, it's kind of like watching those poor little baby sea turtles trying to make it to the sea. You know, they're being picked off by everything. So only a tiny percentage ever lives long enough for you to see it, say, out in that backyard, and become of reproductive age. So, you know, if the wild bunnies have that hard of a time doing, you know, surviving, certainly these domestic bunnies aren't. Then there's a second issue. Our domestic bunnies are very remotely related to our wild bunnies. The domestic rabbit is related to the European wild rabbit. And the European wild rabbit lives in colonies. They are not solitary like our cottontails. And they dig vast underground tunnels called warrens. Our little cottontails dig these little shallow nests called forms. So the other issues, then continuing on that issue of the remote relationship, is that they are so remotely related that it would be like asking a blue jay and a penguin to go live together and reproduce. It's simply not going to happen. They're both birds, but they cannot live together, and they cannot reproduce together. So our little our little domestic rabbits, they cannot survive when they are turned loose, and they cannot go live with the wild bunnies. So it really and truly is a cruel thing to do. Some people simply don't care. Other people honestly believe they're doing a good thing, or that it's better to turn them loose in a park or something than go take them to a shelter where they might be euthanized. But, the options of being, humanely euthanized versus being torn apart by a predator or hit by a car, well, it's really not a good thing to turn the poor bunnies loose. And then animal controls, most of them won't go pick up a loose rabbit. They're really not so much in animal control as they are into rabies control. And since bunnies don't qualify under the rabies control situation, they're not going to waste their resources on picking up these loose bunnies. So unless some kind-hearted person like you says, oh my gosh, this bunny doesn't belong out here, and either takes the bunny in themselves or takes them to a shelter or contacts someone like us, that poor bunny has no chance of survival at all.
Oh, geez. And so when a bunny might be taken to a shelter, that local shelter will call you and say, we have a bunny, we're bringing it down?
Pretty much. There's a few shelters that have very, very limited space for bunnies, and they will, adopt out. But the vast majority really do not deal with rabbits. None of the animal controls do. So they're going to call us if they get one in, and we try to fit them in as best we can. We have, like I said, over 40 different shelters. We've had bunnies come to us from as far away as Maryland, Oklahoma, Texas, Kentucky. I mean, we've had them come from a long way away. Sometimes, the shelter said, can you please fit one in for us? And they will arrange transport to get it here if we can manage to fit that bunny in. So we do our best, go from there.
How many do you currently have up for adoption?
Up for adoption, we probably have between 150 and 200.
Oh, my God. Currently, that facility that I've been to has over 100 bunnies?
There's over 100 bunnies.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of the bunnies are at foster homes because the facility doesn't have room for that many. We also have what we call sanctuary bunnies, and there's probably at least 100 of those. And these would be bunnies that have come into us. They're either too elderly, chronically ill, or maybe just too grumpy to, be adopted out or, that someone wouldn't want them. Occasionally it happens. We just had a 9-year-old bunny that managed to go out to a home. But for the most part, the people are looking for younger pets. And so, especially if there's a chronic issue or something. But unless there is a fatal illness, and not even just fatal, it means if the bunny is in, a serious situation, it's in pain, it's, we can't help it. That's the only time we really euthanize. And we have, like I said, quite a few sanctuary bunnies that we are, we take care of. And do our best with them. So
sort of a bunny hospital and
a
bunny hospital and a bunny retirement community there. So they're all sorts of breeds, as I've been learning. And on your website, I want to make sure people have that address: hrsmostl.com. There is so many wonderful. .org. Okay, and I think .com also works because I think both work. It seems. But at any rate, there are so many resources listed there on bunny supplies and, of course, your hours and handbook and helpful information. So what are some common myths about what to feed bunnies. We were talking at the beginning of the show about the video going viral with the bunny eating an entire banana. I just cringed when I saw that. Actually, someone knows I have a bunny, and they put it on my timeline. But 2 million views, unbelievable. We'll have to do some videos for you to help raise money and awareness, but because obviously people are watching bunny videos. But what are some misconceptions about what to feed them, or, you know, letting them run loose? Where do you begin, right?
Of misconceptions. You know, as far as the banana goes, I mean, we had a lady who had one time said, well, I don't think my bunny likes banana. He never finishes it. Oh, my gosh, you know, it's the same thing. They should only have a slice of banana. Basically, rabbits cannot handle very much sugar in their system at all. It could cause an enteritis or an inflammation of the gut that could actually kill them. So it causes a dysbiosis of the cecum, all of these different things. And, of course, you're going, who, what, where? You know, when people come in and are interested in bunnies and come in for adoption, we explain a lot of this in detail. We try to make sure people are knowledgeable, et cetera. But basically they should only have about a teaspoon of what amounts to sugar or starch per day. So a little, you know, thin slice of apple, no seeds because there's cyanide in apples, seeds. So a little tiny piece of fruit, or, you know, it could be a grape. It could be, you know, people like doing raisins. I don't like raisins particularly because that's a full grape, you know, that's shriveled up. And I'd much rather give my bunny a grape or a half a grape, depending on the size of the bunny, versus a piece of, raisin, you know, type of thing. So maybe carrots is another issue. People think, oh, Bugs Bunny, and they want to give the bunny a full carrot. No. Lots of sugar again. So just a baby carrot, or maybe a 1 or 2 inch piece of carrot, depending on how, you know, large the carrot is. So just a small amount. And we do like to give them a small treat every morning and every evening, because as I tell our adopters, they're like children. If they turn up their nose at dessert, there's a problem. And if they're acting normal and they turn up their nose at dessert, maybe I'll give them some baby gas drops, you know, keep an eye on them. If they turn up their nose at dessert at the second meal, then, you know, it's time to get them into the veterinarian. If they're acting sick, I said, you can't wait at all. They need to be seen immediately. But other myths include things like they're low cost and they're low maintenance. No. They're not. They're very high maintenance pets as far as I'm concerned. And they can be very costly. Rabbits seem to, you know, end up needing emergency care more than other pets. And that's probably your biggest cost, because they don't require, you know, shots or inoculations like your dogs or cats. But they do need to see the veterinarian at least twice a year, and it needs to be a veterinarian who is specially trained in rabbits, because they're usually not trained at all on rabbits in school. So they're trained on cats and dogs, and that's the maximum, you know, time that they really have. They get very little information on any other animal if they're in the small animal school. So the caging. You know, there's another big myth. People see these small little cages at the pet store, little plastic tubs, and a lot of those things cause cage aggression. They cause behavior issues. They cause health issues. So those are, you know, terrible, terrible things to, you know, get a bunny. So a water bottle. There's another myth. Rabbits do not lap water like a dog or a cat. We give them dry pelleted food, dry hay, and then we condemn them to one drop of water at a time. People, again, they're seeing these things at the pet store, so they don't realize, you know, that they're getting the wrong thing, but they are. They need a large, heavy crock bowl of water. Yep, big bowl.
Crock bowl. Big bowl of water, yes. And I noticed that our little bunny drinks a lot of water for her little size, so... So there's lots to learn about bunny care, and you teach those classes at the Missouri House Rabbit Society. Let's talk about the bigger issue about animal abuse and neglected animals, which the Midwest is, you know, slow in coming along with, you know, protecting and caring for animals, unlike other states like Colorado or other places where animals are and wildlife and environmental issues are a higher priority. But Jefferson City here, our state capital, is looking at a bill called HB 1969, which when I read this, I almost couldn't even believe it, that if someone is charged with an abuse situation, abusing or neglecting an animal, that that animal would be allowed to stay with the abuser. Is that true? What is this all about? Tell us about this issue, HB 1969.
Well, that's the proposal. Currently, if an animal is found in an abusive situation, the legal authorities can take the animal away, place it with a shelter until the court case comes up. The animal will receive, you know, appropriate care. But this bill would say, no. It doesn't matter that the animal is starving to death or has been beaten or terribly abused or neglected. It's okay. It will just have to stay with the person who's doing all of this until it can come to court. Well, that could be several months down the road, and by that time, where's that poor animal? The abuse is continuing, the neglect is continuing, and nobody can do anything about it. And that, you know, that would be horrible. I mean, if we, say, looked at our children that way, obviously nobody would want to leave a child in the hands of an abuser. But they're, you know, looking at the animals this way, and it just makes no sense whatsoever. It's hard to believe that something like this would even be proposed, except for those people who don't want their, you know, they want free rein, and it's like, it doesn't matter how I treat my animals. Nobody can come in here and tell me if I don't want to feed them, I don't have to feed them. If I want to abuse them, I can't abuse them. Nobody can tell me anything because I'm above the law. Now, you know, the law says I don't have to do this, and nobody can take the animal away from me. Oh, well, too bad, it's dead by the time the court case comes along. So, like I said, it just really doesn't make sense that it was even proposed in the first place. But since it has been, the only thing we can do is to write in or call in to our legislators and say, please vote against this. You know,
wow.
It would be just 100% horrible. We hear about, say, you know, these confiscations once in a while. It could be a hoarding case. It could be, again, a neglect abuse case. And, you know, you see them on the news, but they would no longer be allowed to happen because they would have to, the animals would have to stay with the hands of the people who are doing the neglect or abuse up until the time of the court case.
Mm. Well, I'm going to share the link. I know there's a link on your website. Again, if you go to the HRSMOSTL, .com is what comes up for me. Probably .org works as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is a link on their website to say no to HB 1969. You want to contact your state legislature, weigh in on this issue, and this is working with the Humane Society of Missouri. They have an animal cruelty task force, and they have a whole legislative alert that you can read about. This issue, you know, share it on social media, you know, ask your state legislator to vote no on HB 1969, contact the House Speaker Todd Richardson, House Majority Leader Mike Sirpiot, and your personal state representative. Let them know you care. There are a lot of people that care about animals, but they don't take the simple action of letting the state legislator know, and if they don't hear from any of their constituents, they don't think anyone cares. So it's really important to state your opinions about different things, and get your opinions out there and get them known. So so you're doing a lot on the personal level with families and education. You're doing a lot on the state level with advocacy. And then you have a big event coming up this Sunday, the Bunny Expo. What a great name. And I looked at some of the pictures. It looks so fun. There's so many things happening this weekend. Tell us what people can expect at the Bunny Expo. And it's all free, correct?
Yes, admission is free, parking is free, all of the informational handouts are free. We'll have people there ready to talk to people. So we basically say, you know, if you have a bunny, it's a fun thing to come to. We'll have a bunny spa there, so they get their little mani-pedi, they get their scent glands cleaned, they get brushed, a little bunny massage, and the nail trims are actually free. If they want to do the whole spa, it's just like $5, you know. We have photos, you know, there. We have, you know, all kinds of different supplies that are available, good supplies for bunnies, fun things for bunnies, fun things for bunny people. And, you know, and plus the big thing is if you are thinking about getting a bunny, or say you've got one of those little bunnies for Easter and now you're tearing your hair out because it's hit puberty and you're not quite sure what to do, you know, come talk to us as far as learning about, you know, how to take care of that bunny. We love to help people, you know, answer tons and tons of questions. You know, we're going to do handling demonstrations, you know, how to pick up and put down that bunny. So many people aren't able to pick up the bunny. And that's, again, of course, one of the myths. People think, oh, my cute, cuddly, pick me up, hold me. Cute, yes, cuddly, well, yes to look at. But most rabbits hate being picked up. They're prey animals. You know, predators go after the weak and the old and the single lame. They hate being picked up because, you know, predators, you know, being picked up is the same thing as being captured. Captured means dead. But there, you know, times when you do need to pick them up and how to safely do that and hold them, you know, would demonstrate that. Bonded pairs. People, you know, oh, my bunny's lonely and needs a friend. Well, yes, their, you know, hereditary background is colonies. They like having a friend. So, but you just can't put them with any old other bunny because they're extremely opinionated. And so they aren't necessarily going to accept just any bunny that you like. They pretty much have to pick out their companion. So all these different things, you know, that are going to be going on from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And like I said, that's our big, you know, educational event. But people can still contact us via our hotline. They can, you know, connect with us via our email if they have questions. You know, people who have a bunny, if they can't make it to our expo, like you mentioned, we do these educational sessions for all of our adopters, but we will do the same educational information for anyone that is interested in learning more about how to take care of their bunny. We've done, you know, sessions with youth groups, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and, you know, schools. We do lots of community outreach, events, activities. It's all about getting the information out there. So,
wow. Well, and, you know, again, social media can be such a great tool for sharing that information. I've just posted about the importance not to go to a pet store or breeder to get a bunny because they're, you know, overpopulated. They're often kept in very small cages. But to go to the House Rabbit Society, again, the House Rabbit Society is at 314-995-1457 or go to rabbit.org for an adoption center near you. And so don't contribute to the industry that might be abusing animals, which are the breeders. Some breeders are good. I don't want to make a blanket statement, but if there's already bunnies in the House Rabbit Society that need to go to good homes, they're cared for, and they can connect you to a vet that knows how to care for those animals, and they can help with the nail trims and the supplies and the education. I mean, you're going to get a lot more support and resources by working through your local House Rabbit Society. So this weekend, again, we've been talking about the Bunny Expo. If you listen to the show after June 5th, there are all kinds of ways to be involved. There are volunteer opportunities. So, Joy, tell us about some of the ways adults and young people can volunteer, families, father and daughters, mother and daughter, whatever. What are some volunteer opportunities, and what are the guidelines for age limits or what have you with young people?
Oh, we have lots and lots of volunteer opportunities and a whole variety of different things, because we tell people, you know, of course, we always need people there for helping to take care of the bunnies, you know, feeding, cleaning cages, cleaning litter boxes. All of our bunnies use litter boxes. And, you know, some people are going, you know, oh, I'm not really into that. Well, fine. We have, between the shelter, you have lots of maintenance. I mean, we have cleaning a kitchen, sweeping, you know, changing light bulbs, lots of different things, you know, that you know, people don't normally think about when they associate it, you know, with, you know, animal care. We have events like our, you know, expo, so we've got lots of volunteers there. But as far as, like, age limits are concerned, you know, we usually don't want them, like, super, super young because they're simply not, you know, ready for, you know, doing with that. But we've had children as young as 6 or 7 there with a parent, okay? If they're 13 and under, we do require a parent to be volunteering with them. We cannot be responsible for what the child is doing. So the parent must be with them every step of the way. You know, past that, you know, at 14, if they've been volunteering with us, then we're okay with the, you know, the parent leaving them there because we want the parents very, very comfortable with what their child is doing and comfortable with the people that they're with, you know, the location, et cetera. We, you know, never want a, you know, a parent to be uncomfortable about, you know, what their child might be doing. And, of course, you know, at 16 and over, you know, they're able to, you know, come, you know, on their own. Lots of adults. We have, you know, lots of people who actually do, say, consistent shifts, you know, every week. They're there, you know, every, say, Tuesday evening or every Wednesday morning. You know, there's lots of different things like that. Then we have the people who can help once in a while. And maybe they can, you know, help for 2 hours on a Saturday. As long as we know and we know they're coming, that's great so that we can schedule, you know, appropriate number of people. We don't want to have one person on one day, you know, and then 15 on another day. You know, it just simply doesn't, you know, work out very well. So we like to know, you know, when people are coming. There's adoption events that we do at, say, area PetSmart or Petco stores, and we need people to simply talk to people about bunnies. And so if they, you know, we want them to get some experience, but they've had some experience, then basically that's what they're doing. They don't have to, say, qualify somebody as an adopter. They simply talk to them about what bunnies are like, what's good bunny supplies, and that sort of thing. Because, again, there's a lot of, you know, really, there's some, unfortunately, some very, very poor stuff on the market. You know, for rabbits, but there's also some quality things. So it's easy to point out these items. This makes good housing. This is over in this aisle. This is, you know, these particular, you know, are good foods, you know, for bunnies. All of this type of thing that people can help with are just, you know, amazing. And then, of course, we have foster homes. We have, you know, people who may help us with getting bunnies to and from the veterinarian. Might help with the transport. So you name it, pretty much we've got it, you know, all of it.
Well, and I think, too, it's important to be educated consumers. It was only, you know, in recent years, maybe in the last 5 or 10 years, that I started learning about animal testing on products. There's been more information about this in the media, but it's so important to buy cruelty-free products, and there is, I love this, a Leaping Bunny logo that will indicate if a product is cruelty-free. And I know a lot of, I had heard one time that mascara was tested on bunnies, and mascara is so toxic, but to think of putting a mascara on a little bunny, I can't even imagine, but there are... there's a website, leapingbunny.org, and it will give you the guide to shopping for skincare products, especially skincare and beauty products that do not test on rabbits and animals. And so please support those companies. It's something everybody can do. It's a simple thing. Just shop the brands and support the companies that are doing the right thing, that care about animals and see them as beings. I love that you make that distinction on your website, seeing rabbits and pet bunnies as beings rather than things, because we live in a disposable society
and people just throw out what they don't want, and they throw out animals all the time on the side of the road, and they don't realize that, you know, we have the responsibility to care for the wildlife on this planet. Dominion over wildlife, whatever the Bible says, dominion means care for. It doesn't mean dominate. It doesn't mean trash, ignore, you know, whatever. So it's important. So check out those products and those brands that are cruelty-free. Anything on that, Joy, that you've learned in the last 5 or 10 years about supporting companies that are good?
Oh, yes.
Stewards.
In fact, one, if people are coming to the expo on Sunday, one of our members, volunteers there, is an expert at it. And she can tell you just about everything, including having, you know, products available. So people can call in and request information, you know, for that aspect too. Because, again, we have different people who are really kind of specialized in different areas. And just as kind of a little bit of information here, we are a 100% volunteer organization. Not a single person that helps us, that includes me, any of our board members, no one is paid for anything. We are a 100% volunteer organization. So when we get donations or anything that we, you know, do for fundraisers, every last penny goes to take care of the animals. So we really try to, you know, make that our, you know, priority. Like I said, the animals, they, rabbits just aren't what people think they are. Sometimes they think dumb bunnies, et cetera. They're extraordinarily intelligent. We can even show you some different activities that they do and things that they think up. I've seen bunnies think up plots for a joke, you know. It's amazing, you know, what they can do. And they can live 10, 12 years, sometimes even longer. So it's not a short-term, you know, situation. And it really needs to be the adults who are responsible for the bunny, not a child. A child cannot make a 10-year commitment. A child is not responsible for the veterinary care. They can certainly help take care of a pet, but it really and truly is the responsibility of the adult, like you said, to know the information and to take appropriate care of this animal. It is our responsibility to take care of the animals, you know, on this planet, all of them.
Wow. And again, if you're not in a position to own a bunny or adopt or volunteer, you can make a donation. There's a donation link on their website. You can just mail in a check. You can donate with a credit card. They make it real easy to support. And as Joy said, they rely on donations for their survival, not just for, you know, keeping the doors open, but providing the food, the education, you know, all the supplies. And there is a bunny wish list. I know you call it a begging list, but I call it a wish list. I just posted that on Facebook as well. So if you have things around the house that instead of bringing them over to Goodwill, they might need pillowcases or towels or all kinds of supplies. You can pick up some extra vinegar when it's on sale. You know, just drop off those supplies and a little bit, everybody just doing a little bit will go a long way to helping to provide. And there's all kinds of fun and easy things you can donate and offer in ways of support. So how do you find, Joy, totally changing the subject now, just on a, back to a more personal basis, how do you get time and life balance? How, with this being such a consuming passion, you're there 24/7, 7 days a week. I don't know if you ever get a vacation, but how do you balance out your work and your passion with, you know, having some downtime and some and rejuvenating your own soul?
Well, fortunately, I have a very loving, supportive husband that's, you know, been me through with all this, my family. So, yes, you know, when I'm away from the shelter, you know, I could be spending time with my grandson. I could be, you know, going out to dinner with either of my two boys, their families. It could be, you know, just, you know, going away for a movie in the afternoon with my husband or something. different things, you know, that you try to do, yes, to make
get out
sure
of nature.
That you're right, that you're, you know, a little bit, you know, there's more to just to the shelter. Yes, I do spend a tremendous amount of time either at the shelter and, but you know, it's our shelter, our adoption center, and with the animals. But you know, I tell you, you know, the family is a wonderful thing. It truly, truly is a wonderful, supportive thing. And I, you know, am so thankful that I, you know, have, you know, a husband and two sons that are very, very supportive of what I do.
Awesome. And do you get out to hike or camp, or do you like to get out in nature still, or have time for that?
I guess I, you know, try to get out a little bit. You know, so I used to have horses, try to get out to go riding once in a while. You know, I have friends, you know, that have horses, et cetera. And, you know, so it's one of the things that I really try to, you know, make a little bit of time for. And just, you know, with friends, you know, getting together with friends, you know, just having some fun. Yes, all of these things are critically important to, again, keep that balance. Otherwise, there are times when it can just be overwhelming if you don't.
Right. Well, that's a good way to wrap it up. And I just think that, you know, owning a pet, outside of the responsibility and the things you do for that pet, is part of a quality of life. You know, my friend calls it bunny zen, where when you spend time with the bunny, because they're so in the moment and they're so peaceful, that it just kind of has a way of calming your mind. It's like sitting by a pool of calm water, a little, you know, or out in nature where you just take a moment to forget about your troubles and connect with your bunny and build that bond, build that trust, and it can do a lot of good things for your mental health as well. So, again, we've been talking with Joy Goya of the Missouri House Rabbit Society, and we encourage you to check out their website or the site in your state. You can go to rabbit.org to find a house rabbit society in your area. Consider responsible pet ownership. Learn what it takes to care for a bunny, and they do make great pets. There is wonderful education and training out there. And then get to the Bunny Expo this weekend, coming up Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Humane Society of Missouri, 1201 Macklin Avenue. It's free, and you can take pictures if you do already own a rabbit, or get supplies and just learn more about this wonderful organization that we have, we're so blessed to have in our state. So anything else, Joy, you'd like to add or close with?
Mostly that we just want people to learn. Again, the more they learn, the better they're able to take care of their pet. The more they're going to enjoy their bunny. Again, like I said, bunnies, you know, people have the wrong idea about them. So if they're really treated more like the family dog, people who become involved with them, really become emotionally attached to them, they're going to see this little personality that just absolutely blooms and, you know, becomes much more than they ever expected. They will thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy having a bunny as a pet. But it really, they, you know, they have to be spayed, neutered. So all of this information, please, please get the information before you get a bunny. If it's too late, you already have a bunny. We are more than happy to provide as much information as you like.
Well, thank you so much. It's been fun. Good luck at your event. I hope to get there, but I might be at Butterfly and Moon on Sunday working
okay.
at our shop. But maybe we can set up a little fundraising event at the shop for the House Rabbit Society and set up a little something. Well, I've started looking and collecting, looking for bunny jewelry and bunny-themed items. So we'll continue to think of ways where we can help you. So good luck, and thank you again for being on Alive to Thrive. And next week, tune in. We'll be talking with Donna Fasaki of Colorado. She wrote a book called I'll Meet You at the Base of the Mountain. It's about the loss of her daughter from a tragic car crash.
but also how she found strength and resiliency since that event affected her life, and ways that she's bringing joy and serenity to her life and to other people's lives as well. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everyone, and happy June. Thanks, Joy. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Alrighty.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.